Welcome to the School of the Word. This is lesson 87 in our teaching series, Unlocking the Prophetic, titled Changing the Spiritual Atmosphere by Setting Spiritual Markers of Time. Our teacher is Alan Smith.
So, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit will be with us this morning. Give us revelation to see what you want us to see and to learn what you want us to learn. Lord, I pray that we would get it. Help us not only just to got it, but help us to get it. In Jesus' name, amen. So this is teaching is setting spiritual markers of time. Now we've been into three and four dimensions. We're entering into a four-dimensional understanding. I started that some last week on the different characteristics and the different observations and understandings of a fourth dimension. Today, I'm going to get more into the idea and the understanding how in the fourth dimension, you bring into this element, this dimension of time. And in this dimension of time, it's a dimension that I have been teaching you. You can't see it. Now, I would imagine that so far, you're trying to, as we all are, trying to grasp what is the meaning of this fourth dimension, this dimension that we can't see. We understand three-dimensional viewing, three-dimensional understanding, because that's how the human eyes see. We see three-dimensionally. Now, I'm going to try, this morning, as we go into this idea of the dimension of the time element. The fourth dimension is the dimension of spirit. But it's also what I want to teach you to this morning is that time is what I call a spiritual marker. Time is a spiritual marker. For instance, if I say, where were you when President Kennedy got shot? For those of you that were in here that were born probably know where you were when you heard. In other words, that was that time was a marker. It marked time. So historically, you can go right back to that same day that time marker was established. Excuse me. So God is recovering man's reason. Now, I've led you up to this point of discovering our reason that we live, the reason that we are here. What are the spiritual reasons? Now, I'm going to bring, as Paul Harvey said, the rest of the story. God is recovering man's reason and therefore the ability to set spiritual, markers of time. Spiritual markers of time. God is not only recovering our reason, but our ability to set spiritual markers of time. To follow Christ is to follow the reason in the time that God created you. Now, we have all been we've said that we have been created for such a time as this. Have you heard of that phrase? You've been created for such a time as this. What does that mean? That means that there is a time that you have been created. Not only do you want to discover the reason that you have been created, but you want to discover the times that you have been created. Why do I need to discover the times that I have been created? Well, it's obvious that I'm not going to go out and build a big ark. Well, it was said in the Bible that Noah built an ark. Well, that's wonderful. Am I going to follow Noah as my pattern? And are we all missing God by not building a big boat? Well, I think not. But the reason is That was Noah's information for the time that he was in. Like, are you starting to feel just a little bit the dimension of time? How time has a dimensional quality to it? Noah was created and was obedient for the time he was in. I do not give animal sacrifice today. Do you know why? Because I'm not in that time. Time brings a dimension to the reason that you're in. Now let me just say it like this. So does time, the time that I'm in, does it have anything to do with the way I behave in this time? Yes. It has everything. You know, there's a lot of people that have this belief that if they go back far enough to the original and duplicate that, that they'll be more in harmony with truth. That has holes all in it. Truth is applied at its given time. So time is a dimension that we need to be aware of when we're walking with God. What time are you in? You are at a time in life. I don't play with little trucks. Well, I play with big trucks. I guess my trucks got bigger as my time grew. We want to be in harmony with the time it is. Let me give you another example. I believe this is the end times. So I want to be in harmony with the teachings of the end times. I've said this before, I could be the best brain surgeon in the world. You can roll me in a patient, I can crack her head open, I can start working on the brain. All of a sudden I discover that the brain doesn't have a problem, they needed a heart transplant. You say, well, he's a great doctor. Yeah, but it's the wrong doctor at the wrong time. So therefore, it can bring death instead of life. So does time make a difference at all? The truth is he's a great doctor, but that great truth is applied at the wrong time, at the wrong place. Are you with me? So does time make a difference? Time is a dimension. Time is a reality of creation. God said in the beginning. In the beginning. That's a time marker, right? In the beginning. Now, let's move forward. You must own where you are in life. Now, here's the rest of the story. I've already talked to you about this part of it. You must own where you are in life to have the authority of the reason in this time. We just added something to our reason in this time. That's the reason a lot of people, well, there's gifts of the Spirit, but not everybody has all gifts of the Spirit. If you don't have a particular gift of the Spirit yet, it's not time for you to try to use it. You with me? I can say, I want to fly an airplane. Well, if I haven't been to school and don't have my license and haven't been through all that training, guess what? It's not time for me to fly an airplane. There again, does time have anything to do with realities? Yes, most certainly. And so I want us as a prophetic people to start considering this other dimension, the fourth dimension, which is time, fourth dimension, which is spirit. Now, let's move on. Owning where you are gives you reason of responsibility and in turn gives you your authority in time. You see, Adam gave up his authority in time when he blamed Eve. Guess what? They got kicked out of the garden. Right? That's what happened. What about Adam? Did he regain that authority? No. Why? Because the blood of Christ had not been applied yet. It wasn't time for him to regain it. But guess what time it is now? The time is now that we have regained the authority that Adam lost. Can you see it? What changed it all? What changes the time? The blood of Christ. The greatest marker, the greatest, and I could sit here and say greatest from now till Jesus comes, and I wouldn't say it enough. The greatest marker of all time is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Did the time that he do that, can you feel that or is it just me? I can feel that. I can feel that fourth dimension. So we see that you have what I call spiritual markers. And these spiritual markers mark time. When we gain our spiritual authority back, we're gaining part of our reason, which has been lost, and we continually lose when we blame others. We take that authority back, we own it. Not only do we have authority, but we have authority in time. Feel that one? All right, let's move forward. Jesus' life was created by his reason in relationship to time. In other words, in God's eye, mind, heart, Jesus was crucified before the foundations of the earth. That's God's time. God's time and my time are two different times. God operates outside of the three dimensions. You look like I'm thoroughly confused here, or you're waiting for the next thing I'm going to say. I'm not sure which it is. Waiting for the next step. Okay. Jesus' life was created by his reason in relationship to time. And his reason was created by embracing his time. Can you feel it? All right, when you capture your reason, or we start getting an idea of our reason, we got to start embracing this time that we have been created to live in. We're not trying to escape it. We're not trying to do anything but embrace it. You say, well, Alan, my life's been hard. It has, but that's in your time. Embrace it. Own it. I'll let you in on this one. Would anybody like to change time? All right, hang with me. Now, everything must be in relationship with something. I did this last week, but I'm giving you the rest of the story. Everything must be in relationship with something before it can be anything in its given time. Some things, it's not time yet. God, why didn't you heal this? God, why didn't you do that? God, why? Whoa, wait a minute. There's your time and there's God's time. Are you there? When God enters into your world, I did this last week, giving you the rest of the story, he does not do it with a list of rules, But he does it by being in a relationship with you inside of time. God is in relationship with you inside his time, in your time. Your time's a minor, his time's the major. Your time has a beginning and an end, his has no end. You there? See, everything you're dreading, everything you're hating, everything you're doing, everything was in your time has an end. But everything in his time has no end. So aren't you glad God has a different time than ours? If he didn't give us this limited time with the beginning and the end, we would be stuck here. And he's asking us to trade our time for his time. When we bring fourth dimension into our three-dimensional world, we are bringing his time into this time.
Yes.
Can you feel it? Are we doing any good? Okay. I'm getting hot. I just didn't know. I don't know where it's coming from. He promises us a world that is beyond what we can see with our eyes and only see with our hearts outside of time. So God gives us an ability in our time to see into his time. But can you see how you have to leave your time to see in his? You gotta leave so you can go. Now, it's not that your time isn't important, it's just his has greater importance. His time will trump your time if you let it. And whatever God changes, it changes for eternity. What you change will have a beginning and an end. That's the reason you might have joy for a season. I mean, we can sin and have joy for a season. But God says, why do you want to do it for a season? Let's do something for eternity. He goes for the long haul. Now, I've said this. I hope it brings a little more understanding. Two includes one, but one does not include two. Now, here's the idea. God's time includes your time, but your time does not include God's time unless you choose to let it. So two includes one, but one does not include two. I'm one, he's two. One doesn't include two. But two includes one. Now, three includes one, two, but two does not include three. You say, well, Alan, what does that mean? In other words, me and the Holy Spirit, one and two. I can live a life with the Holy Spirit, but not be in relationship with the Son. You say, Alan, how can that be? It can be. I'll show you here in a minute. Four includes one, two, and three. One, two, and three does not include four. In other words, the idea, when we move into God's time, we're in relationship with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. We're in relation. See, some people just want to be in relationship with the Spirit and think they've arrived at some spiritual thing. Well, that's okay, but you got this time thing. God's wanting his time to break into this time. And to do that, you got to have the revelation, the understanding of the Son and of the Father. So he doesn't want you just to know the Spirit. As Christians, for some reason, we think we've reached some spiritual pinnacle when we are just all spirit. That's not the idea here. Now, hang with me. Now we're going to go just a little bit. We're going to take baby steps here. Go with me a little bit. First dimension, no time, no life. Now, I've did this with you. This is the first dimension. It has length. You remember that line? That first line has a dimension. It is a dimension. But it has no time and no life. It just lays there. It doesn't begin and an end unless somebody makes it begin. That line in itself has no time and no life. Now, the second dimension, which we did it, and I showed you how that takes on a different, a two-dimensional thing is like a piece of paper. You sit there and you can look at it, or it can be like a window. You look at it. It's just straight, flat on. You just look flat on at that wall, and that's two-dimensional. When you look over at the blind, that's three-dimensional. It has, see, that flat wall doesn't have depth to me, but those blinds do. So that takes on another dimension. But you got to understand something. Something is three-dimensional, two-dimensional, one-dimensional. It has no time, and it has no life. As we went into the three-dimensional of configuration last week, I showed you how we went from one-dimensional to two-dimensional, and we started building the three-dimensional box there. And so that is like just like I said, that's just like that blind. Now, whether you realize it or not, as you go through life, you view life three-dimensional. And so it's not hard for us to conceive of the idea of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, because God has created us to see three in one. Right? But people, for some reason, want to worship the 3D and not go 4D. What is materialism? 3D. It has no time and it has no life. Go get you a new shoe to clothes or a new car. It just lays there. It has no time and no life in itself. You can't eat something that's not alive and it bring life, physically nor spiritually. Concrete's never been alive. Go eat you some. See how alive you become. We eat organic. We eat that that's been... Organic means something that's been alive. That's the definition. Now, fourth dimension. Says yes to time and says yes to life. When you start thinking four-dimensional, that's where the life and the time comes into being. Four dimension is a movable measurement as a specific spiritual marker. I'm trying to put English words to spiritual phenomena. And I feel very prehistoric at best at trying to explain it. My only hope is the Holy Ghost is showing you a lot more than I'm saying. And I know that if it's true, what I'm saying, that will happen. The fourth dimension says yes to time and yes to life. So can you see how we can invite people to church and give them a new suit of clothes, and it's not going to speak any life to them? So it was nice, but it's not going to transfer life. The reputation of the church is to be that of more life. We become more alive. You can say, well, Alan, what does that mean? Now, the only thing I know that it means is more than I have now. I believe that it's an ever-ending revelation of more life. If you feel more depressed today, if you feel sad today, if you feel like you're losing and going downhill today, that is not an expression of more life, right? So that means, how do I correct that? Is I need to spend a little more time in fourth dimension. I'm going to show you how to do that. Now, here is our... You remember that, how I showed you the fourth dimension as we're trying to teach it and show it. I've taken on this box within a box. You remember that? And then last week, the box within a box is connected by these axes or markers. Do you see this? And these axes or markers are at the corners of the box, the internal box and the external box. If in physics you call it an axis, I think it is. Then there's a reason for this. So a fourth dimension, if this box had color to its sides, you could not see in it, but mathematically you could figure that it's there. Now this I can tell you, Christ in me, the hope of glory. I can be very honest with you, I can't see it. But I know it's there. How do I know it's there? Because I believe the most ridiculous story on earth that anybody's ever told. I believe that it was a man lived 2,000 years ago, lived in a country I've never been to, and they nailed him to the cross, and he died, and he resurrected from the dead, and he's sitting in heaven now with God. If you believe that, you got eternal life. I believe it, and I'm a rational guy. How can I believe that ridiculous story? Because Christ, the witness of that story, is in me. It has converted my mind. Because there's a fourth dimensional person in me. It makes me think different. It puts me in eternal time. You know what a spiritual bellyache is? It's when you're in spiritual time, but living in natural time. Make you nauseated in the spirit. You won't like nobody, especially the church. Makes you sick every time somebody brings it up. That's another day. Okay. It's tied together. Now watch this. All dimensions are in relationship to each other because they are another dimension of the same truth. I did this last week. The internal dimension is in a relationship with the external, three-dimensional person. Is a relationship going on. The more you build the relationship, which is the internal tied to the external, the stronger the relationship, the greater the movement. I'm going to show you the movement here. For now, here's fourth dimension. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery. It is called a mystery. Among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ, fourth dimension, I can't see him, but I know he's there. The greater the relationship, the stronger the duplication of the same truth in time. So Christ is in me, the hope of glory, lived 2,000 years ago. But since I'm in relationship with him, the more that relationship grows, the more that I'm in relationship with the Jesus that lived on the earth 2,000 years ago. Well, why do I need to be in relationship with the Jesus that was here 2,000 years ago? Because he was then in that three-dimensional body operating out of the fourth dimension. I need to do that now. Jesus is in heaven, total fourth dimension, which is spirit. But I need to identify with him that's on the earth. And then Jesus went on to say, you'll do greater things than I did when I was on the earth. As that relationship grows, well, do you want to know what happens as it grows? Watch this. Human beings are creatures of time. That's just, we're just creatures of time. We wear watches so that we can keep account of time. Oh, mercy, I guess got 12 minutes. I better hurry. We ask ourselves, how much time do we have left? I'd say we're attached to time. Paul says that the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are eternal... You see, look here. Paul speaks of temporal things and eternal things. Two times. Temporal has a beginning and an end. Eternal doesn't. Two sets of time. Paul said things are seen in the temporal and in the ones that has no time. So when I say to you prophetically, we're calling people from God's heart, from before the foundations of the earth to now, time doesn't make any difference. Have you ever thought, well, it's getting too late for that person? Hogwash. We're going to work with that time. We're going to work with it. Psalms 90, verse 2, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. There's God's time. We have time that's temporal. There's God's time. Psalm 90, verse 10. Now, here's our time. The days of our years are 80 years and 10, and if by the reason strength may be 80 years, yet is there strength, labor, and sorrows, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. God's time is Psalm 90, verse 2. Our time is Psalm 90, verse 10. Same context. Time clearly does not relate to God and man in the same way. God's not sitting in heaven worried that he's running out of time losing this battle of the devil. God's time, God seen the times before the foundations of the earth. Did you know that he was defeated before the foundations of the earth?
Yes.
So God's not in God's time. He's not sweating anything. Watch this. Eternity is endless, but time is measured by a beginning and an end. It has been said that time is a historical parenthesis written in eternity. Just a little segment in eternity. There are periods of time, seasons, and there are specific times. Now watch this one, Ecclesiastes. To everything there is a what? A season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. Now this is what you want to see. When we're looking at time, we're trying to say, are we in a season? Or are we in a purpose? Purpose has a specific time. See it right there? And a time to every purpose. Every purpose has a time. But then we have other segments of times we call seasons. Now, let's go into space-time. This is Einstein. He was one of the first ones to start talking about space-time, at fourth dimension. I'm trying to bring into this conversation the idea of time. The concepts of time and three-dimensional space regarded as fused in a four-dimensional continuum. That's what Einstein brought to the table. He's saying the fourth dimension brings it into a continual state. That's what the time does. Example would be this. Now, I want you to get this, and I know I'm trying to move fast, but I want you to get this. Here's an example of time in fourth dimension. You could ask somebody, would you meet me for a cup of coffee? Or you might need to say it a little more. Would you meet me for coffee at Starbucks on Statesville Avenue? In other words, the question was, will you meet me for a cup of coffee? Well, that's wonderful. Yes. Whoa, need a little more information. Where? You bring another dimension to, will you meet me for a cup of coffee? Then when you put a destination to it, you bring it into another dimension. Now, here's what I want you to see. Some things are not completed until they have all the dimensions. Revelation of the Spirit has 1, 2, 3, 4 dimensions. Some things within you are either in first, second stage dimension, could be in third stage, but then you got fourth. Getting a cup of coffee, first stage. Would you meet me for a cup of coffee? Second dimension. Would you meet me at Starbucks for a cup of coffee? Watch this one. Would you meet me for coffee at Starbucks on Statesville Avenue at 5 p.m.? Time and space. Do you see how that has to have a time before it's actually going to become reality? You can tell somebody, hey, let's meet for supper. Okay, where? Let's go to McDonald's. Okay, see you there. Even if it happens, you're not going to meet up with each other because you haven't brought the time dimension into it. Got it? What is a prayer without time? We got first, second, third dimensional prayer. We got fourth dimensional prayer. Anybody getting what I'm trying to say? I know it's a mouthful. You just test what I say. You can be at work or you can work with people, and if you don't give them a time to have a project done, it means it's not going to happen. Anybody in business ever experienced that one? You got to put a time to it. You can say, well, I'm lazy or I'm forgetting. No, you didn't bring the dimension that it takes to make things happen on the earth, which is time. You want to get a cup of coffee? Yeah. Well, the idea here is we want to get together and have a cup of coffee, but you got these dimensions that have to come together at the same time. Then it hits the earth. Up until that time, it's just a nice thought. Are y'all getting more than I'm saying? All right. Now I'm going to throw a little rock in there. What if your friend is late and arrives at 5:15? Well, I made it real by saying 5, but they got there late. Right. Before this situation can happen, one of two things has to happen. If they're not there at 5 and you leave, are you going to get to have a cup of coffee with your friend? If you said 5, but you wait on their arrival, does it still happen? If you pray for somebody that they'll be healed at 5 o'clock, and they're not healed at 5 o'clock, are you going to wait on them? When you give it a time, it will happen. I just told you a whole lot right there. If that wasn't true, I would have believed God would honestly maybe struck me dead, because that's a big one. I'm telling you the truth. We are to be bold enough to call things into the fourth dimension. Now, you want to use the time that you hear the Spirit say, and if you don't hear the Spirit saying the time yet, don't call your friend for a cup of coffee. Spirit sets the time. Whew, gosh, I'm hot. So we're wanting to have this time element in our prayer, in our hearts. Understanding. Here's what you got to understand. You might have to wait on it. The dark powers of darkness might get in the way of somebody from being there at 5 for the coffee. This is real stuff. Y'all know that. I'm just telling you, as a prophetic people, when we say it, and we speak it from the unction of the Holy Ghost, it is going to happen. Go ahead and give it a time, give it a time, give it a time. As you feel the Holy Ghost saying, and then you wait, if you want to have the encounter with a friend, you got to wait. Have you not noticed one of the best things we do in prayer is wait? It's not a matter if, it's just wait. It'll happen. You are waiting on the dimension of time of arrival to synchronize with the three-dimensional coordinates to become real. All right? Are you with me? You're waiting on the dimension of time of arrival to synchronize with three-dimensional coordinates so it can become real. We're in three-dimensional. We got fourth-dimensional, which is spirit I can't see. But the fourth-dimensional sets the time, makes the call. When the Holy Ghost calls you and says, do this, guess what time it is? Now. You just got the time. The Holy Ghost gave it to you. Now is the time. You don't get to sit and ponder. You don't get to sit around and study. Too late. You got to move. Because it's time. You don't plant corn in December and January. It's not time. It'll sprout and die. You plant it in its season. Last of March, if you're just real woolly and want to spend a lot of money, maybe lose it, or you wait till the middle of April. Time is everything in the prophetic. Time is everything. Faith is the relationship between third and fourth dimensions. Remember those axes that I showed you? You got the internal, you got the fourth dimensional box, and you got the three dimensional box. Then we got the axis that holds it together. What causes me to connect in this relationship with Christ? It's faith. Faith actually creates emotion. Faith creates emotion, y'all. And the motion that it moves is Christ in you. You say, well, God, I want you to heal this person. Well, that's good. But I promise you this, if you've got the motion and relationship of Christ going on, you can walk by somebody and your shadow will heal them. Because you are in relationship with this fourth dimension that you can't see. We don't have to know everybody needs to be healed. We don't have to do that. But we can be in a relationship. Let me move. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I can't see it. So faith is the substance. Faith is the axis that hooks me to Christ. Watch this. Fear can be a spiritual time marker. Uh-oh. Let me give you a scripture for that. Job, what I feared has come upon me. You see, fear can set a time marker. If you feel like that somebody needs what got what they deserved, you set a time marker. You set time. We want to bring interference to time. God changed your time. I would be to God and did none of us get what we deserve. Let me move on. What I dreaded has happened to me, he said. Fear. This is going to happen. Oh, that's going to happen. This is going to happen. You got to understand something. You are creating time markers in fourth dimension. Quit it. Stop it. Now let's look at this one. Dimensions are in relationship to each other through faith. And I've shown you this. Faith is what hooks us to Christ. The greater the relationship, the stronger the duplication of the same truth moving in time. So as I'm in relationship with Christ, I'm in relationship with who Christ was 2,000 years ago. And as I'm in relationship with who he was and what he did, then that moves in time to now. Let me show you this one. You see those axes right there? That in that fourth dimension, I got Christ in you. Do you see it up there? Now I'm putting the little legs to the box. You see that? That's so cool. It took me like 3 hours to make that work, just so you'll know. I sort of got into it, and I was like, oh, God, I got to quit this. Now, we cannot see the fourth, but we can make it real by giving it time. I hope you can get this. We cannot see the fourth dimension of spirit, but we can make it real by giving it time. Time is the fourth dimension. Did you know you can only experience God in the time right now? I can't experience God by saying I'm going to experience Him future. I can't say it, I'm going to experience Him. If you're going to experience God, it's in the time right now. That's the real experiencing God. We can duplicate the same truth that's in us by moving in time. So that means I'm going to do what Christ did by moving in this time that I have found I'm in, and God's given me a reason to be here in this time, and that is to duplicate Christ because I'm in a relationship with Him and He wants to work out of me. Your faith makes four dimensions real. Now I want you to see this. You see that four-dimensional box? That's the same box. We're going to see if we can get a little video right here. You see it? Christ in you, the hope of glory. See how the inside box becomes the outside box, and the outside box becomes the inside box, and the inside box. See that? What causes that to happen? Time. It takes time for it to go from inside to out. See it? So what puts Christ in you in motion? Time. That's you. That's Christ. You're hooked to Him through faith. He's wanting to revolve in and out of you. And you start revolving so much, you can't tell which was the inside and which was the outside. You start losing your identity in Him. You just revolve. The fourth dimension starts mixing with the three dimensions. You see it? You got it? Now, I really don't know what I'm going to do because I hate to stop right here. I'm going to have to stop right here. You know why? It's time. It's just time. I have really got a lot more to say in this. I can feel the Holy Ghost right now. I can feel the fourth dimension. I can feel the presence of the Spirit. I'm hoping that you can also. Next week, we're going to pick up right here on this fourth dimensional spiritual world of time. And we're going to see how Christ in you, the hope of glory, is in here. But God is wanting you to put time to it. And it, I showed you how fourth dimension has life. Fourth dimension is time and life. As Christ is working in and out of you, it creates life that's operating out of God's time and not yours. You're not making somebody happy for a week. God's bringing peace for eternity. You see? Everything that's in temporal time, it is nothing but a mere fake of eternal time. It has a season. It has a short life. But God says we now have the ability to start living in His time if you want to. Praise God. I feel like I've just said the words. I hope they make sense. So let's stand. And let's move into this next time. We are now in a time to worship God. Would anybody like to revolve in the Spirit, the fourth dimension? I got a feeling, you got to understand, when we stand around the throne in heaven, We're going to be operating in fourth dimension. Our worship is going to be revolving. It's going to be, you're not going to know. Listen, if you want to stay temporal, go ahead. But eternity is at your fingertips. Eternity worship is at your fingertips. Lord Jesus, be with us. Fill us with your Spirit. Dear God, this morning, at least, oh God, for this next hour and a half, let us trade our time for your time. We pray, oh God, we would be on heaven's time. Heaven's time is what we're calling for, oh God, so that only things that are eternal would take place. In Jesus' name, we pray and fill us, oh God, with the oceans of your power and your love. In Jesus' name.